somebody to share with. And the subject that we've been taking up, the holiness of God and how that applies in our life, how it ought to have an impact on each of our lives. Sunday afternoon, we looked at the characteristics of God as being holy, and we emphasized the fact that it's not just an attribute of God, it's synonymous with His deity, that He is holy. And any attribute that we would say of God, that we would describe of God, we would have to put the fact that we'd have to put holiness in front of that attribute, that every attribute of God is holy, and that He Himself is holy. God is light, we remember that we looked at in 1 John, and that in Him is no darkness at all. So He's holy. Keeping in mind the thought of holiness being that He is a cut above, that He is transcendent above everything else, that He is different and unique. And we've had a little bit of that yesterday as well. And then yesterday we talked about the thought of holiness in order to know God's mind and how important that is. And we spent a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. And we realize that as we take up this subject, that it's a vast subject. And there's so much that can be said. And we also realize that there's a lot of overlap, that each day we're going to be overlapping the day before as well as the next day. And because I have to leave on Friday, this was supposed to be Friday's topic, but since I have to leave Friday morning to get to a funeral Saturday morning, we are taking up today. Sam had suggested that we move things back, and as we prayed about it, and as I went to my room yesterday and prayed about this, I really felt that his suggestion was of the Lord, because when we think of today's subject was supposed to be Joshua chapter 5 and the holiness of God for spiritual battles. But how can we have spiritual battles and win victories in our spiritual battles if our daily lives aren't holy? And so that's what we're talking about today, our daily lives. And when we think of this subject, when we think of holiness, most generally, we get frightened. Because the thought of holiness, right, it scares most of us, because most of us are so far away from being holy. And yet, at the same time, it ought to have an impact, as we've been saying. It ought to have something effective in our lives, that it ought to challenge us and change us. And when we think of this, I want to turn one verse, and then we're going to open this up and get some thoughts from you. But one verse in Matthew chapter 5 that I thought was very unique, and in the Beatitudes, in verse 8, where the Lord Jesus is speaking. And in verse 8, He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Blessed, happy. And if you look at that word, blessed, it means to be happy, it means to be fulfilled, it means to be satisfied. So if we put that in application to our lives today, blessed or healthy and happy in our Christian life will we be if we have a pure heart. And to use our word today, holy. If we have a holy life, we're going to have an effective, healthy, happy Christian life. And I believe that one of the reasons that many Christians aren't happy and healthy is because we're so far away from what we ought to be in holiness. And then if you just connect the rest of that verse, because this ties us into where Steve had us yesterday. Remember the verses that we looked at? Who can ascend into the hill of God? Look at verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, I know that there's a prophetic application that we can make here, but I want to make it very practical for us. If we, God is holy, and in Him we know He cannot look upon wickedness. And if we want to enjoy that intimate fellowship with Him in our daily lives, then there needs to be that holiness. If we want to enjoy that fellowship that He has with us, there needs to be that holiness. And we kind of ended up, and we should have probably spent more time with Brother Sam's thought about keeping short accounts with God in our daily lives, confessing our sin, making sure that we have a clean slate, as it were, before the Lord. Because that's going to promote holiness in our life. That's going to help us to achieve this thought of holiness. But I want to back up a little bit, because we know that according to the Word of God, and we've been kind of alluding to this every day, but I want to look at some, I want you to find some particular scriptures on this subject of holiness. We've been alluding to the fact that we are holy. Positionally, we are holy. Positionally, we've been sanctified, set apart for God. And so what I want to do now is just spend a few moments of you sharing with us some verses that would underline, if someone says, well, how do you know you're holy? What verses would you use to say, positionally, we are holy? So let's just spend a few minutes, and when you find some verses along that lines that would prove that we've been sanctified positionally, just share them with us. Who has a portion? Pages are turning. It's so nice to hear.
Titus 2:14.
Okay, you want to read it?
Yeah, in fact, I'll probably back up just a couple of verses, but that verse in particular.
Okay.
The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I was thinking particularly of the purification there as regarding holiness.
Okay. Would you say that's a position, or is it an ongoing thing that he is doing?
In these verses?
Yeah.
This would probably be ongoing.
Okay, so that would go along with the thought
daily
of our
daily living instead of the positional.
Okay, good, very good. But that's a very important. Those are very important verses, and hopefully we'll come back to them. Anyone else? Other verses? Yeah.
Hebrews 10:19.
Good.
Having therefore a brethren boldness to enter in the holiest blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which we have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water.
Excellent. Okay, well, you have any thoughts on that you want to build on? Or I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but if you have some thoughts.
We couldn't draw near if we weren't holy, so.
Mm-hmm. In fact, scan down Hebrews 10 and look at, see if you can find another verse in that chapter that might help show the prerequisite to this verse or these verses that Matt read.
Verse 10,
excellent.
By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So the once for all, I guess, maybe is the positional side of things. It's done. Nothing could be added to that work, and positionally we're seen, it's his work is complete.
Excellent. So it's important for us to just verify right at the beginning. We want to try to get some more verses out that would underline our position. But it's very important for us to see that through the work of Christ, we have been set apart. And remember, that's the word, being sanctified means to be set apart for a purpose. We have been set apart through the work of Christ, by God himself. Any other thoughts or passages of scripture, or anyone wants to build on this? Yeah.
1 Peter 2:9.
Okay.
You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's possession. So it's just the thought there that we are chosen, that it's done. You've been chosen. You're set apart. You're a holy nation. It's not nothing to the effect of you will be or you are becoming.